People thought that God doesn't do this anymore. No, it's because they didn't understand the contract. They didn't live out to their part of the contract.
Welcome to Walk in the Blessing, the media outreach of William McDuffie Ministries. Let's join our pastor and teacher, William J. McDuffie.
This is a message, a series of messages called The Anatomy of Faith, and we're going to break down what faith is, and we've looked at one aspect of faith that is progressive, that it grows. Well, we've looked at the fact that faith ultimately has as its ultimate end hope. And we're teaching this because we want to pull. I want you to pull all of this together. Don't listen to some parts of this and then forget the other parts, because all of this goes together. We have to understand now that faith is the exchange for the things that God has promised us. Faith is the exchange. Prayer that is given outside of faith will not get you the exchange. Bible study, the Word of God that is not according to God's Word and according to the Spirit of God, will not give you the exchange that you're looking for. And that's why so many people are out there today with Bibles and studying and still lost, because they're not studying according to the Word of God. How many people know that according to the Word of God, you need to have a pastor? So you can't just do a Bible study at home by yourself. Talking about you had church. All right. It says in Matthew chapter 7, verse 24. Now, let me put this back in perspective. We were talking about the fact that we have this study of faith, but we also know that faith is what? What is faith? Faith is a practical outward expression of our inward confidence in God and in His Word. Okay, now this is important in the context in which we're going now. You have that? So how now do I know? Because faith is an inward thing. Okay, it's an outward expression, but it's an inward thing. How do I know that a person is operating according to faith? Because that outward expression, that practical outward expression, is what? It's observable. I can see it. I can see the results of this. I can see what's going on in regards to this. So that is what puts this now in the context that we want to start with in Matthew chapter 7, verse 24. Jesus says, therefore, everyone who hears these words of mine and does them. The NESB says acts on them, but the King James says does them. The person who hears these words of mine and doeth them. This word doeth means regularly, habitually, constantly. It is not the person who does the word occasionally. It is not the person that does the word of God, a couple of times a week. You know, it's not the person who does the word of God three times a year, you know, Mother Day, Christmas, Mother Day, Easter, you know, CME Christians, Christmas, Mother Day, Easter. No. We're not talking about people who occasionally do this. The Bible says, Jesus says, that therefore everyone who hears these words of mine and does them, doeth them, acts on them, he says, may be compared to a wise man who built his house on the rock. And the rain fell. Say, the rain. And the floods came. Say, the floods. And the winds blew. Say, the winds. And slammed against that house, yet it did not fall, for it had been founded on the rock. It didn't fall. Now here, Jesus isn't talking about a physical house, and Jesus isn't talking about necessarily the elements in nature. He is talking about individual personal lives. The life that's built on hearing God's word and doing what God's word says is wise, because when the winds, when the floods of life come, the rains of life come, when the winds of life come, they come against us all. But the person who is built and founded on the rock, and we've discussed that the founding, or the rock rather, is not the word itself, it's doing the word that makes the foundation rocky or solid. It's not the word, it's doing the word. I said it's not the word, it's doing the word. It's doing what the word of God says. Come on, come on, I'm not moving. I'm not moving till you say amen to this. It's doing what the word says. You know, because in this day and age, we got so many people with so many, we got volumes of notes. We got tapes and DVD series from Preacher X through, you know, Preacher Z, and we got all of that stuff. But the fact is, you still got to do it. You don't get the benefit. Having T.D. Jakes on your bookshelf doesn't help your life if you don't do it. Amen. Right. Amen. Having Kenneth Copeland, Kenneth Hagin, Richard B. Peoples, Creflo Dollar, you name it, doesn't help you if you don't do it. Amen. All right? So it's not having it. It's not even having heard it. It is doing it. And we can prove that, because in verse 26, he says, everyone who hears these words of mine and does not do them, does not act on them, will be like a foolish man who built his house on the sand. And then the rain. Say the rain. What rain is this referring to? the same rain that the wise person goes through. The floods came. Say the floods. And the winds blew. Say the winds. Same flood, same wind. Matter of fact, each of them are sitting in seat at Abraham Christian Center International on the 25th of January. They both may be sitting on the same row. And the fact of the matter is, same rain's coming, same flood's coming, same wind's coming. But one person just stays above the fray, continues to make things happen, continues to enjoy and fellowship and rejoice in the Lord. And the other person is getting their pants beat off. They're getting the brakes beat off them every day. The difference is they're both in the same church. They're both hearing the same word. The difference is one person does it. The other person will not do it. Amen. The other person is still doing what Pretty Ricky say.
Amen. Amen.
Girl, what you doing? You know, I'm doing the word. What you doing? You tell them something like that, the conversation will be short.
Amen.
What you doing? Nothing. And then this conversation will go a whole different way. You know Ricky ain't saved. You know Ricky. I don't care how many times Ricky said he'd been saved. I don't care how many titles Ricky got in front of his name. I don't care that he used to pastor a church or pastor one. You know exactly what Ricky calling you for, and you acting crazy by giving in to it and can't understand why stuff not working for you. Because you're not doing what the Word of God says. You don't have to say amen to this. I'm still going to be right. People, why does Pastor always talk? Why does he always get on this subject? Listen, when you change, I change the subject.
Amen. Amen.
When you stop falling for the same old okey-doke and you live a sexually pure life, not for 30 seconds, not for 30 days, not for 30 weeks, but all your life, then I can move on to another subject.
Amen.
I'm in a room full of young people. I know that. You know, and so when you deal with young people, there's certain things that you got to understand. Young people are more apt to be involved with.
Amen.
Amen. So that's why we talk to you about those particular things. All right. So you got to do what God's word says. You got to do it. There's no wisdom in simply hearing his word. The wisdom isn't doing it. So the wisdom isn't hearing and doing it. Now, we understand that this is the full expression of faith. My full expression of faith in God and in his word is to hear, to take the time to hear what his word says, and then do exactly what his word says.
Amen.
Amen. Don't tell me that I'm a doer of the word and you don't give your tithe and offering.
Amen.
Don't say you're a doer of the word and you still cussing folks out.
Amen.
Don't say you're a doer of the word and you still fist fighting.
Amen.
Don't say you're a doer of the word and you're still cheating on your taxes. You know, you already got a plan to cheat on this year's taxes. Don't say you do, because the Bible says, render unto God what is God and unto Caesar what is Caesar. You know what? Your taxes belong to the government. That's Caesar. Give Caesar what's Caesar. You can't pray in the Holy Ghost and say, well, Lord, I'll give you 10% of what I steal. Come on now. I'll give you an offering on what I steal, Jesus. He being accomplished to your theft. He's not going to do that. All right. So we got to be doers of the word. We got it. All right. Now, come over here to Genesis chapter 17. Genesis chapter 17. And in Genesis chapter 17, we see a visual expression for the first time other than God dealing with Adam. We see the foundation of the exchange. And we know that if we're going to receive what God has for us, we have to do what the contract calls for. Now, I use the word contract because I want to make it clear to people in this day and age, when we talk covenant, we're talking about a contract. Now, there were people who will argue me down. Oh, no, a contract is not that. A covenant is much deeper. It's much, broader. It's not about a contract. But it is. It is. Just study any, go to any law book. Any agreement between two people is a contract. That's what it's called. It's called a contract. And all contracts are not written. Some people think that because they didn't put it in writing, that it's not a contract. No. As soon as you and I come to agreement on anything,
Amen.
It's now a contract. So here, the Lord establishes a contract. He calls it a covenant. And so we're going to call it a covenant, but I want you to keep in mind that it's a contract. Now, you must understand this about our God. He is called the righteous judge. He is first and foremost the righteous judge. Everything that God does based on law. That's why there's always things introduced into the earth in the way of law. the law of Moses, the law of seed time and harvest, the law of progression, the law of faith. The Bible refers to specifically, verbatim, as the law of faith, the law of Christ. The Bible refers to the Old Testament as law. It refers to the New Testament as law. Why is that? Because God is a judge, and everything that happens is based on what the law says, not on his feelings. So God can't get up tomorrow and say, you know, I feel like, you know, I think that human beings ought to have 3 ears. Can't change it. He can't, because he's a God of law, and whatever he has established to be the law is now the law. And this, check this out, that's what I love about God. He doesn't just expect us to live by the law. He's also bound himself by the law. And that's exactly what we see here in Genesis chapter 17. It says in verse 1, now when Abram was 99 years old, the Lord appeared to Abram and said to him, God physically appeared to him and said to him, I am God Almighty. Walk before me and be blameless. This word blameless means complete, perfect, or having integrity. He says, walk before me and be a man of integrity. Now, I don't have time to work this week because I got a different line we need to go on. But next week, I'm going to work this like a neck bone. Anybody ever try to get meat off a neck bone? Anybody, you're too proud to say you ever had a neck bone? Everybody ever had a neck bone? When you work a neck bone, man, it's a lot of effort. Ain't a lot of meat on a neck bone, so it take a lot of work. Amen. You got your tongue off. You poking and stuff. We're going to work this like a neck bone next week. But we can't work it like that today because we have a different way to go. He says, walk before me and be blameless. Be a man of integrity. But let me just stop on by here for a second. Be a man of integrity. In other words, Abraham, integrity means wholeness. Be the same way in public and in private, Abraham, because this is the precondition for the contract. The precondition is whoever you are in public, Abraham, be that in private too. Amen. If you're holy in public, be holy in private. Amen. Don't be holy on Wednesday, Friday, and Sunday, Abraham. Be holy all through the week, Abraham. Don't be holy only when there are people around you who know you are supposed to be a deacon, or you're supposed to be a minister, or you're supposed to be a Christian. No, be holy all the time, Abraham. When nobody's looking but me, Abraham, be holy. Don't be flipping through channels and trying to look through squiggly lines to make out stuff you know better than looking at, Abraham. Don't be ordering up all kind of video packages, Abraham, with stuff in there. You know you ain't got no bit. Don't get in the hotel, Abraham, and talking about it's me and my wife, me and my husband. We going to watch the following naked channels. No, we don't do that, Abraham, because we got to be, for this contract to even work, we got to first be men and women of integrity. And that means that everything God's word says I'm supposed to be in private and in public. Amen. Some of y'all travel with me. Was I any different? No. I'm gonna be real. I'm not hitting on you in public. I'm not trying to slide down to your room when nobody looking in private. Amen. Amen. Because the precondition is that we be holy. Amen. Somebody say holy.
Holy.
Maybe the reason why you're having a difficulty placing a demand on the contractual agreement is because you're still dropping it like it's hot. Maybe that just may be. Walk before me and be blameless. I will establish my covenant between me and you. This is key. I will establish my contract between me and you, and I will multiply you exceedingly. Abraham fell on his face, and God talked with him, saying, as for me. Now, in every contract, each side has to have promises in writing that must be made. And so God starts out in the contract saying, this is my part, Abraham. As for me, behold, my covenant is with you, and you will be the father of a multitude of nations. No longer shall your name be called Abram, but your name shall be Abraham. And I will make you the father of a nation, a multitude of nations. Verse 6, I will make you exceedingly fruitful, and I will make nations of you, and kings will come forth from you. All right. But verse 7 is where we want to focus now, because he says in verse 7, I will establish my covenant between me and you and your seed. Now, if you look at this word in the NASB, it says the word, it is the word descendants, plural. And we have shown you that this is an erroneous rendering or translation. If it was to say this is between me and you and your descendant, that would be correct. But it could not be descendants. And we know that because Galatians says what? Come on. Thank you, son.
He does not say, and he sees.
Right.
That refers to many, but rather to one. And to your seed, that is Christ.
Amen. Thank you. That's what we wanted to get. I wanted somebody to read it. I got it, you know. Wanted somebody to actually tell me what the word says. So it's incorrect to say descendants. It would be correct to say descendant. So the Bible says when he says this promise or covenant is between me and your seed, it says seed and not seeds, meaning many, but one, because that one person is Christ. Look at me. Isaac was a descendant, and he was the fruit of the loins of Abraham, but he is not the seed of Abraham, because the seed of Abraham is Jesus Christ the righteous. Now, why is that significant? Why is it important to understand when God says, Abraham, this covenant, this contract is between me, you, and your seed? Why is that important? Because Galatians chapter 3, verse 29 tells us that if you are Christ's, then are you Abraham's seed and what? An heir according to promise. So when God says that I will establish this covenant between me and you and your seed, if I were you, I would just kind of cross through that word descendants and write me. It's between, my covenant is between me and you and William. My covenant is between me and you and Jason. My covenant is between me and you and Valerie. I make this really, really personal, because now that we know Galatians 3 and 29 says, if I belong to Christ, then I'm Abraham's seed and an heir according to the promise. Then in this chapter, all the promises under this contractual agreement belong to me as much as they belong to God and Abraham. Now, the devil don't want you to know this. That's why he's trying to get you to be dull and not really pay attention to this, because he does not want you to know you have a legal right to tell him to get out of your face in Jesus' name. You have a legal right.
Amen.
That all of heaven will enforce if you will understand what the contract says you are entitled to.
Amen.
How many people know if you don't know what's in the contract, somebody can take advantage of you?
Amen.
Amen. Anybody ever signed a contract with some small writing and something in there you didn't know was in there, and it was a disadvantage to you? They did that because they knew that once you signed it, it was legally binding, but because you didn't understand it, it was to their advantage. The devil knows if you don't understand this, if you're just still, you know, daydreaming during service and playing tic-tac-toe and not understanding that you have a covenant right with God to be healed, to be healthy. You have a covenant right to be rich. You have a covenant right to be safe. You have a covenant right to walk in divine favor. You have a covenant right to stand against all. That's why the Bible says no evil will befall you. No evil will befall you. If I look at something that looked like evil coming my way, I got to go back to the contract and find out what I missed that evil is even showing up. Now, evil may attack me, but it can't befall me. It can't overtake me, overcome me, because I know what the contract says. And that's what the courts are for, because one person says, oh, that's a violation of the contract. I say, no, this is exactly what the contract says. Well, let's take it to the judge. Let's go to court. Jesus, what does the word say?
Amen.
Come on, devil. Come on. You were talking that mess now. Come on. Let's go see Jesus now. Because Jesus is our attorney. The Bible says that he is our advocate.
Amen.
That's our attorney.
Amen.
That means literally he's arguing your case right now to the judge.
Amen.
And I got to put y'all in on a secret. He's related to the judge.
Amen.
And not only is he related to the judge, I'm related to him too. So now I'm not 100% sure. No, that's not. I'm lying. I'm being facetious. I'm 100% sure, devil, which way this is going to be ruled. But let's go on to court anyway. Because I know what my contract says.
Amen.
I said, I know what my contract says.
Amen.
Anyway, he says, I will establish my contract, my covenant between me and you and William, me and you and Jason, me and you and Valerie, me and you and Brian, me and you. You name it, you name it, you name it, you name it. You're in here. Say, I'm in here.
I'm in here.
So he says that I will establish my covenant between me and you and your seed after you throughout their generations. So this is not something that is only for the Old Testament believer. This is not something that was only for the first century church believer, because God said this is a promise to your seed in their generation while they are alive. And then it says for an everlasting covenant. That means that this is not old covenant. This is now covenant. Because God said everlasting. In other words, there is no expiration date on this, Abraham. As long as you got somebody who it belongs to Christ, then the contract is enforceable. Amen. Oh, this is good stuff. Oh, this is good stuff. It's enforceable. It's enforceable. All right. All right. All right. He says, now look at this. He says that I will establish my covenant between me and you and your seed after you throughout their generation for an everlasting covenant. Now, this is the part that excites me. To be God to you and to your seed after you. Oh, Brasil Bakoshi. Notice what he does not say. He does not say that I promise as part of this contract to be God. Because he's already God. Amen. He doesn't say that as part of this agreement, I promise to be a God. In other words, I'm not going to be one of many. He says, I promise, Abraham, to be God to you and to your seed throughout their generation. Now, what's significant about this is that God, in any culture of the world, God is always the source to which people look. Amen. He says, you don't have to look to a God that makes you sick. You don't have to look to a God who you have to make. You don't have to look to. No, I'm not only God, but I promise in the contract, Abraham, to be your source. Oh, wait. Now, why is this significant that he's our source? Just keep your finger there and turn a few pages to the left and go to Genesis chapter 14, verse 18. And it says that Melchizedek, king of Salem, brought out bread and wine. Now he was a priest of El Elyon, or the Most High God. And he blessed him, referring to Abraham, and said, blessed be Abram of God Most High. Look at this. Possessor of heaven and earth. Oh, glory to God. God says, Abraham, you have a contractual understanding that I will be your God. Who am I, Abraham? I'm El Elyon. I'm the Most High God. I'm not just the highest. I'm Most High. And when you need anything, Abraham, know this. I possess everything that's in heaven, everything that's in space, everything that's on the earth. It all belongs to me, Abraham. And whatever you need, you have a covenant right to come to me, Abraham, and it's yours. It's yours. It's yours. Oh, see, some of y'all, you're still in religion. You don't understand. You don't understand that whatever it is you need, if it's in the earth, whatever it is you need, whatever it is you need, I got a covenant right to a job. I'm not just looking. I got a right to a job. I've got a right to see my babies healed. I got a right to see my children saved. I've got a covenant right because he said, I'll be God to you. Hey, Shandolabo say, you be my source. Amen, amen, amen. Amen. All right, let me show you something else here. Psalm chapter 91, not 9, chapter 91, the 91st Psalm. Turn to 91st Psalm. Glory to God. We're still in review. We're just reviewing some stuff. Psalm 91. You know why we review so much? Because people don't get it the first time, second time. You still don't get it because you're sitting there too still. You see me jumping around here? Because I'm telling you, when you get this, you can't just sit there with your pen and you don't get it. You don't get it. You get excited. You have to get excited. Man, you mean that God's my source, the possessor of everything? He's my source. He's the one that stands with me. Oh, glory to God. All right. Psalm 91, verse 14. Look at this. This is part of the contract. Because he has loved me, therefore I will deliver him. Because he has loved me, therefore I will deliver him. Look at me. Look at me. God nowhere in his word promises to deliver everybody. Amen. I'm going to prove it to you. God does not provide deliverance for everybody. Deliverance is for the one who loves me, the one who obeys me, the one who understands there is a contractual obligation between he and I, between she and me. When they understand this, I'll deliver.
Amen. Amen. That's good.
Amen. I don't know if I believe that. Well, how many people have you known cry out to God and get destroyed?
Amen.
See, people thought Rakashalaboto. People thought that God doesn't do this anymore. No, it's because they didn't understand the contract. They didn't live out to their part of the contract.
Amen.
And as soon, listen to this. As soon as they refused to do their part, it tied God's hands. He can't do his part.
Amen.
Not that he doesn't want to. He can't do his part.
Amen.
God can't bless me if I disobey him.
Amen.
That's why I said, when I understood this, oh, I see you, old slimy snake devil. I know why you're trying to lure me into that junk, because you're trying to get God into a place where he wants to help me, but he can't help me. But he says, because he has loved me, therefore I will deliver him. I will set him securely on high because he has known my name. He will call upon me. And I will answer him. That's why Jesus, when he was speaking, he said, ask and you shall receive. Seek and you will find. Knock and the door will be open to you. For everyone who asks receives. Everyone who asks receives. Wait, who is Jesus talking to? Literally, at that moment, who was he talking to? He was talking to the Jews, and the Jews are also known as the seed. He was talking to the seed. The seed had a right to ask and receive. The seed has a right to seek and find. The seed has a right to knock and the door be open to them. It's the seed. It's the seed. It's the seed. It's the seed. Because God said that this covenant is between me and you and your seed throughout their generations, to be God, to be their source. When they call on me, I might not answer. I will. I might answer. No, I will answer. Everybody look at me. That's why I can boldly say all my prayers, A-L-L of my prayers are answered. All my prayers are answered, because the contract says, God said, if I call on him, he'll answer. God said, if I call on him, he will answer. 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 And the answer is never no. Not if it's in the contract. Come on, show me 2 Corinthians chapter 1. Verse 20, is it? 2 Corinthians chapter 1, verse 20. Give me that from the NIV, which I love. Let me prove this to you. Everybody look up here, because I want you to see this. For no matter how many promises God has made. Oh, whoo. I got to run on that one. It doesn't matter how many promises he's made. They are yes in Christ. No matter how many promises, the answer to every promise is yes. He'll call upon me and I will answer him with yes. Ask for what you want, you'll receive it. Seek for what you want, you'll find it. Knock on the door you want, it'll be open to you. Glory be to God. Glory be to God. I said, glory be to God. Oh, when you really get this, it's hard to worry when you know that all you got to do is ask. And he hears you. He hears you. He hears you. He hears you. I know it might seem like he's not listening, but his contract said, when he calls, I will answer.
Well, my beloved partner, that's it for this teaching session. Did you get something out of this message? I pray that you did. I count it a distinct privilege and an honor to call you friend. And I look forward to hearing from you, so write me. Yvette and I love you dearly, and we pray for you constantly. Until next time, this is Pastor William McDuffie reminding you that Jesus is Lord, so you ought to walk in the blessing.
You've been listening to Walk in the Blessing, the media outreach of William McDuffie Ministries. Thank you for your generous financial contribution. It is because of you, our covenant partner, that we are reaching people around the world for Jesus Christ. We would like to extend to you another opportunity to sow into this ministry, which is indeed good ground. If you would like to sow a tax-deductible contribution, please write us at William McDuffie Ministries, P.O. Box 2368, Sierra Vista, Arizona, 85636-2368. That's William McDuffie Ministries, P.O. Box 2368, Sierra Vista, Arizona, 85636-2368. And as always, walk in the blessing. Keep on walking.